Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. This evening's main headlines: a whistleblower asking staff at the centre of the sexual abuse scandal at St Joseph's Community Hospital in Stranorlar have been praised for their efforts in highlighting the matter. It comes as there are further calls on the HSE to publish the report into sexual abuse at Ardgrinya Complex and the Sean O'Hare Unit. Mega campaigners say they may run a candidate in the next general election if their demands regarding 100% redress are not met. The Taoiseach has indicated mask wearing, digital COVID certs and social distancing may continue beyond Friday, and LUH is the second most overcrowded hospital in Ireland today. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more, as well as the latest in sport, coming up for you within the next half hour. Back to our top story this evening, and a whistleblower, as well as the nursing staff, at the centre of the sexual abuse scandal at St Joseph's Community Hospital in Stranorlar have been praised for their efforts in highlighting the matter. It comes as there are urgent calls on the HSE to publish the report into sexual abuse at Ardgrinya Court Complex and the Sean O'Hare Unit at the facility. Last week, it emerged that at least 18 residents with intellectual disabilities, some of which are non-verbal, were subjected to sustained sexual abuse during a period of 13 years, amounting to over 100 alleged separate incidents of abuse. The alleged perpetrator of the offences was a resident who is said to have passed away since then. Minister of State Anne Rabbitt says nursing staff signed the document back in 2008, calling for action, yet nothing was done. Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, Minister Rabbitt said it's clear there were good people on the ground desperate for appropriate action to be taken.
I don't want to give a timeline, because if I had my way this minute, if we could cross our last roadblock, because that roadblock is a new roadblock that only became really apparent last Thursday evening, but if we could get over that roadblock, the document is ready to go. It has been redacted. It has been anonymised. There is nobody... There's nothing on it that would identify anybody I have seen. So it is ready to go if we could overturn the last roadblock. But just before I finish, can I say one thing? And I think it's important to say on your local radio station that I have to compliment the whistleblower for his tenacity of sticking with this particular issue, for him rooting out a listening ear in Deputy Pringle, for him bringing it to the attention. I also want to compliment the staff back in 2008 who put their name to a piece of paper looking for action to be taken. Unfortunately, it wasn't actioned nor listened to. But that takes bravery, that takes courage, and that takes the voice of people who didn't have a voice, that there was really good people that work within the service that were prepared to stand up and be counted. So that's important to say and to have not acknowledged, and it would be very remiss of us not to ensure that full publication would be done to ensure that the truth comes out, because people don't like secrecy, people don't like that confidentiality, and certainly I won't stand over that.
Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says the onus is now on the HSE to be open and transparent and to release the report into the abuse scandal in full.
Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get answers from the HSE, and that's the sad reality at the moment. The HSE need to wake up and smell the coffee. They need to see what's going on here. They need to come clean, and they need to publish this report, and they need to be open and transparent about it, and they're not being that, and that's sadly the case. And they haven't been at any stage. The previous report that was published, I haven't seen that either. Well, I sat across the desk from some HSE people and they held it up and said, this is the report, that's all you can see, we're sending this on to Dublin now. And only for Finian McGrath at the same time had sent on the same issues to HSE nationally, this report would have been buried as well. And it also begs the question, I have to say, that, you know, what other reports have been buried within HSE?
Mica campaigners say they may run a candidate in the next general election if their demands regarding 100% redress are not met by the government. With working group negotiations now over and the prospect of 100% redress being approved by Cabinet now up in the air, the PRO of the Mica Action Group has said today that while it's a step none of the campaigners will be looking forward to, it could be necessary if their demands are not met. Michael Doherty also says that many affected homeowners now see the Mica campaigners as their last hope.
It's certainly not a prospect we're looking forward to in any shape or form. We all have our own jobs, we all have our own lives, although they've been put on hold largely. For some of us, maybe longer than others, but certainly for an awful lot of people, this has been dominating their lives. There's nobody, I can assure you, in any shape or form looking forward to the prospect of having to run as a TD. but there's no way we came the distance we've came. We said it in Dublin. We've said it all along. The job's not done. The job's done. And whatever it takes to get there is what we're prepared to do. And I think we have been consistent in that message all along. I think we have, when we said we're going to do something, we've done it. It was a big call, but and we hope it's not required. But, you know, we have to look at succession planning. Any good campaign has a plan B, C, D, and E. And we are working our way through it here. But certainly not one that we would be looking forward to doing. It's not what we're cut out for. It's not what we put our hands up for. We put our hands up to try and shout for getting our homes back that was basically robbed from us through no fault of our own. And we just cannot let the 7,000 people in Donegal alone down. What was very clear on the Friday protest was the number of people that came to all of us afterwards. And you could see it in their eyes. You could hear it in their voices. You know, we're their last hope.
The Taoiseach has indicated that mask wearing, the use of digital COVID certs, and the use of social distancing restrictions may continue beyond Friday. Micheál Martin was speaking ahead of a cabinet meeting tomorrow morning to decide how to proceed with current restrictions. Sean Defoe has more.
Senior sources in government have indicated they don't expect any new restrictions to be brought in this week, despite increasing numbers of new COVID cases, hospitalisations and ICU admissions. Instead, the question is how free will Freedom Day on Friday actually be? This evening, Taoiseach Micheál Martin indicating some restrictions that were due to be eased will be kept.
The continuation of the COVID certs is certainly an item on the agenda, as is mask wearing and so on. I don't want to go into specific details about specific aspects of reopening and so on, because I think that's for the government's consideration, and I'm not going to preempt that at this stage.
A question also remains about the reopening of nightclubs, which was due to happen ahead of the bank holiday weekend. NPHET's been meeting this afternoon to give its recommendation. A pre-planned meeting of the Cabinet Subcommittee on Climate goes ahead this evening, but many of the same ministers are on the COVID subcommittee and will be consulted before a meeting of coalition party leaders to decide the way forward.
1,091 new COVID-19 cases have been recorded in Northern Ireland in the last 24 hours. There have also been an additional 3 COVID-related deaths announced there today. 347 patients have now been treated for the virus in hospitals in Northern Ireland, with 34 of those in ICU. European health regulators are examining an application for approval of the use of the BioNTech Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine in children aged 5 to 11. It's currently authorised for use in those aged 12 and over. The EMA says it will review the data on the vaccine, including results from an ongoing clinical study, in order to decide whether to recommend extending its use. The European Medicines Agency says that evaluation is expected to take a couple of months. Letterkenny University Hospital is the second most overcrowded hospital in Ireland today, with 52 people awaiting admission there. According to the latest report from the INMO, 17 people were on trolleys in the LUH emergency department, while a further 37 were awaiting a bed on wards or in overflow areas earlier today. Those figures come as the INMO has said that ICU beds are like gold dust, with just 12 beds available nationwide. 482 people are currently hospitalised with COVID-19 here, including 74 patients who are in intensive care. Casey O'Riordan reports.
Just 11 adult ICU beds and one paediatric ICU bed is available nationwide. Tony Fitzpatrick from the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation says hospitals are under huge pressure.
We have the pent-up demand during COVID-19. We have the rising numbers of COVID-19 as well. This is a perfect storm now that's creating severe difficulty.
The HSE says all hospitals have surge capacity plans in place should they need them, but Mr. Fitzpatrick is concerned about the further easing of restrictions due on Friday.
And I think the government are going to have to give serious consideration of the implications of any further opening up.
New figures from the Health Protection Surveillance Centre show that 63% of people admitted to ICU with COVID-19 between the end of June and the start of October were not fully vaccinated.
Serious concerns have once again been raised over a lack of respite services in Inishowen. Previously, Donegal Disability Services confirmed that there are currently no emergency respite beds available on the peninsula, and that alternative accommodation is being provided at Ballymacool Respite House in Letterkenny. The issue was raised at the last setting of the Inishowen Municipal District, and Councillor Albert Doherty says it's an issue that is continuing to escalate.
The statement that Donegal Disability Services currently have no emergency respite beds available in Inishowen, and Ballymacool Respite is often sent to us as an alternative, But it is not an alternative if I'm living in a rural area where I don't have the appropriate travel to bring me to my towns in the peninsula. How do I get to Ballymacool in a moment of crisis? No, the national HSE must be focused more on us, must deliver. We have two things that we need. We need an appropriate location for those presently using the emergency accommodation, and we need Riverwalk House respite to restore and return to the service it was meant to be. What happened at Cashel na Cor and the relocation of other staff members to other locations re-emphasises what was thrown up at me before, that as regards the intellectual disabilities, this area is seen as the Cinderella area of healthcare in terms of budgeting, in terms of staffing, and that is something that has to change.
The Ciaran Loch of Donegal County Council has reacted angrily over the weekend as water outages once again happened in South Inishowen. Not only were residents without water for a prolonged period, but the repair work also resulted in major traffic delays in Fawn. The Ciaran Loch of Donegal County Council councillor Jack Murray had the opportunity of inspecting the main line that burst, which was completely split down the middle. Councillor Murray says this is the same line which thousands of people rely on for their water supply. He's challenging anyone to give a logical reason as to why other areas are prioritised for investment before South Inishowen.
You can see just how fragile that pipe has now become, and I think it's just more evidence of the need for Irish Water to seriously invest in the South Inishowen water supply, because these water outages are just becoming ridiculous by now. People, it's very hard to even portray the frustration that people have in South Inishowen, and people quite widely are demanding that they just get a proper investment in that line so they can get a decent and consistent water supply like everybody else would take for granted.
Scenes that we saw over the weekend are definitely not new to the South Inishowen area. You've been constantly beating the drum at council level to get an upgraded water supply. What is the reason to date that Irish Water have given the likes of yourselves and other Inishowen councillors as to why this upgrade isn't being prioritised?
Irish Water, and I can't for the life of me understand it, keep saying that there's other places that are a greater priority, that are in greater need of investment, or maybe even better value for the investment, but I just can't. I can't see how anywhere else is more deserving than South Inishowen. I am on Highland Radio very, very regularly, giving updates that the water supply is out, and I don't think any other area experiences such bad outages. And when the trunk main goes, you're talking thousands of people, a dozen villages and towns across a huge area that goes without water for a day and even 2 days at a time. So I simply cannot understand why this area isn't chosen and prioritised for investment.
The time is now 13 minutes past 5. We'll take a quick break, and sport is coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Get the Donegal GAA supporters gift box now at michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time's 5:15. Time to go over to Oisin Kelly for the latest in sport.
Thanks, Daniel. We start with boxing. Donegal's Peter O'Donnell has been named as manager to the Ireland team that will compete at the Elite Men's World Championships later this month in Serbia. O'Donnell will take charge of a 6-man team with the competition starting on Sunday the 24th of October in Belgrade. The Reformman first took charge of an Ireland team in 2008, and in between times he guided Ireland to double gold back at the 2015 European Championships. In women's soccer, midfielder Roma McLaughlin has linked up with the Republic of Ireland women's squad today ahead of their 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup qualifiers. The Donegal native replaces a forward, Kara Carzusa, who picked up a knock on club duty. The full squad, which included Amber Barrett and Kira Grant, both from Donegal as well, continued their preparations at the FAI National Training Centre today, Monday. Dublin rivals Bohemians will look to delay Shamrock Rovers' procession to the SSE or Trusty League Premier Division title tonight. The Hoops need just 7 more points from their remaining 6 games, the first of which is at the Tala Stadium. Kickoff tonight there is at 7:15. Bournemouth have signed Robbie Brady until the end of the season. The Republic of Ireland international joins the championship leaders after a period as a free agent. He was released by Burnley during the summer. When in the Premier League tonight, Arsenal play host to Crystal Palace this evening. The fixture sees Gunners legend Patrick Vieira return to his old club. Kickoff at the Emirates Stadium is at 8:00 tonight. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp believes Mohamed Salah would be a deserved winner of this year's Ballon d'Or. The Egyptian has scored 10 goals in as many games this season, while he found the back of the net 22 times in the last Premier League campaign. Klopp says the only thing that will stop Salah not being named best player in the world is his lack of recent silverware.
I have no idea how you win the Ballon d'Or, to be honest. If it's about being in the Champions League final, scoring the most goals, stuff like this, then it could be slightly difficult. Maybe if it's about performances over the last 2 years, then he has a chance.
In Gaelic games, the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny will host one of the Donegal Senior Championship semi-finals this coming weekend. The Donegal CCC confirmed this morning that the last four clash of the holders Neve Connell and Kilcar will be played in Letterkenny this Sunday, throwing in at 1:45. That game, of course, is a repeat of last year's delayed final. The first semi-final will take place on Saturday the 23rd between St Michael's and St Dunan's, and that's at McCool Park in Balbuffet, throwing in at 5 o'clock. Some of the other games confirmed today: the relegation Senior A Football Championship quarter-finals. One will be played on Saturday and one on Sunday, both taking place at the Donegal GA Centre in Convoy. Kelly Beggs will take on Glenfinn on Saturday at 12, and Four Masters play Termin at 12 on Sunday. While the Intermediate A Football Championship semi-finals are also on both days. On Saturday at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny at 2:30, Dunlow will play Neve Columba, and then on Sunday back at McCool Park in Balbuffet, Clonhilly are up against Buncrana at 5 o'clock. And there'll be lots of championship talk and discussion on the DL Debate podcast tonight with Brendan Devaney. He'll be joined in the show by Ryan Ferry, sports editor of the Donegal News, plus Highlands Ladies football correspondent Maureen O'Donnell, as they talk a busy weekend in championship and look ahead to the next stage in the competitions. That, of course, is available on our website, highlandradio.com, and will also be aired just after the news at 7 o'clock. Mayo manager James Horan believes that there are flaws in Proposal B before delegates at this weekend's Special Congress. The league as championship format has been backed by the GPA. But in an interview with Midwest Radio this morning, Horan said there are flaws in the proposal and he would be quite happy to stick with the status quo. There's a call for regular drug testing at club level in the GAA. It's after former Limerick All-Star Kieran Carey claimed cocaine is an issue in every club in the country. Former dual player for Antrim and current Tyrone hurler CJ McGurty says regular drug testing could be a useful tool.
There is that worry for a player if they are taking drugs or, you know, performance enhancing drugs even, that, you know, you can't be caught. But the problem at club level probably for the GAA is funding, and how you get, you know, how you can go out and test every club player is probably the massive issue that the GAA have.
In cricket, Ireland have made a winning start to their T20 World Cup. Four wickets and as many balls from Curtis Camper helped them to a 7-wicket victory over the Netherlands in Abu Dhabi. Next up for Ireland is a meeting with Sri Lanka. That takes place on Wednesday. And finally for the moment, in rugby, there's renewed concern over the fitness of Jonathan Sexton, with Ireland's November internationals looming. The 36-year-old requires assessment on a hip injury after limping out of Saturday's win over the Scarlets. Meanwhile, James Ryan is following the return to play protocols after taking a knock to the head over the weekend. That's your sport, Daniel.
Thanks, Oisin. Back to news now, and serious concern has been raised over revelations that Termin National School is not in the catchment area for Milford Secondary Schools. This means primary pupils from the area will have to travel to Letterkenny to attend secondary school instead of nearby Milford. The issue was raised at the latest sitting of the Letterkenny-Milford Municipal District Council, with Donegal County Council to write to the Department of Education to urgently change the rule so that Termin can be included in the Milford catchment area. Local councillor John O'Donnell says the situation just doesn't make sense.
We're very fortunate in the Milford electorate here that we have two super secondary schools in Milford, and I think it's unfortunate that people at Termin wouldn't be afforded the chance of attending that school when you have people as far away as Castle Shannon that are in the catchment area. So it doesn't make sense at all, and I'm thankful that we have the full support of the council today to be able to write to the department and hopefully get Termin included for the catchment year for the year ahead. And if it doesn't, I won't be sitting down on it. I'll be travelling to Dublin myself to make sure that it's tabled and it is addressed.
Is this an issue that's decided in Dublin or decided locally? Because one would have thought, if anyone said to Donegal ATB, where, you know, would Termin fit in, do you believe? I'm sure the answer for most people would indeed be Milford.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but I've spoke to the senior figures within both schools, and what I would say is that the fact is that it was. I think this did eventually or did start at the TB level. It's very hard to believe. So I'm sitting on the TB. I'm on the board, and I will look forward now to bringing it forward to my next meeting again with them to make sure that this is highlighted and that it's amended. And I've also got the council here as well, the local authority, the full municipal district, to write a letter to the department to make sure that it's rectified, because Termon can't be left out of the Mulford area, and nor should any area that's within such a close proximity. Like, it's unheard of that you'd be shut out of your local secondary schools the way we've been treated here, and I won't be standing for it.
And now the weather, mostly dry this evening and for a time early tonight. Apart from isolated patches of drizzle and mist, it'll become wetter overnight as outbreaks of rain move in from the west. It'll be a mild night with temperatures between 12 and 14 degrees overnight. Back to this evening's main headlines once again, and a whistleblower as well as nursing staff at the centre of the sexual abuse scandal at St Joseph's Community Hospital in Stranorlar have been praised for their efforts in highlighting the matter. It comes as there are urgent calls on the HSE to publish the report into sexual abuse at Ardgrainier Court Complex and the Sean O'Hare unit at the facility. Last week it emerged that at least 18 residents with intellectual disabilities were subjected to sustained sexual abuse during a period of 13 years. MICA campaigners say they may run a candidate in the next general election if their demands regarding 100% redress are not met by the government. The PRO of the MICA action group, Michael Doherty, said today, while it's a step none of the campaigners would be looking forward to, it could be necessary. The Taoiseach has indicated that mask wearing, digital COVID certs and social distancing restrictions may continue beyond Friday. Micheál Martin was speaking ahead of a cabinet meeting tomorrow to decide how to proceed. And Letterkenny University Hospital is the second most overcrowded hospital in Ireland today, with 52 people awaiting admission. According to the latest figures, 17 people were on trolleys in the emergency department, while a further 37 were waiting on a bed on a ward elsewhere in the hospital. That's all from the Highland Radio newsroom for now. We'll have headlines again for you coming up at 6 o'clock. But until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Monday evening, October the 18th. The death has taken place of James Hannigan, 28, St Francis Terrace, Derry. Funeral from his home on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn. Interment afterwards in St Mura's Cemetery, Fawn. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on the church webcam. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if wished, to the White Oak Centre, Derry Van Muff. The death has occurred of Bridget Slevin, Kilcadden, Crossroads, Killigordon. Funeral leaving her late residence on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on the St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon Facebook page. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Patients' Comfort Fund, Archview Nursing Home, Letterkenny, care of any family member. In compliance with current government and HSE guidelines, the house, funeral and burial will be private to the family and neighbours only, please. The death has occurred of Michael Carberry, Maharalask, Glenswilly. His remains will be reposing at his brother Tony's residence in Maharalask from 6 p.m. this evening, Monday. Funeral Mass tomorrow, Tuesday, in St. Columba's Church, Glenswilly, at 11 a.m, with interment afterwards in Kilpeak Cemetery. House private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Kathleen Doherty Skill, Tirhoran, Clonmany. Her remains will arrive at her home today at approximately 4:30 p.m. Funeral leaving from there on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m, going to St. Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family, friends and neighbours are welcome to the funeral mass whilst adhering to HSE and government guidelines. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Clonmany. The death has taken place of Annie Coffey, Killort, Malinhead. Annie's remains will repose at her home from 6 p.m. this evening, Monday, with family and close friends welcome. Annie's funeral mass will take place on Wednesday at 11 a.m. in the Star of the Sea Church, Malinhead, with burial afterwards in Lag Graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Isabel Elaine Boyd, Ní McGovern, 80 Woodend Road, Ballymacgorry, Strabann. Funeral service at her late home tomorrow, Tuesday, at 1 p.m, with burial afterwards in Link Castle Cemetery. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to Macmillan Nurses, care of Ruth Hay, funeral director. The death has taken place of John McHugh, Garrowart, Ardra, and formerly of Kilrain, Glenties. His remains will repose at Shovlin's funeral home at Sandfield today from 5:30 to 8 p.m. for family, neighbours and close friends. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. to St. Connell's Church, Glenties, for 11 a.m. funeral mass, followed by cremation at Lakeland Crematorium, Cavan, at 4 p.m. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place in Glasgow of John Jude Kelly, Glasgow, and formerly of Lismula Duff, Kelly Gordon. Funeral service will be held in St. Margaret Mary's Church, Glasgow, on Thursday at 10 a.m, with burial immediately afterwards in the Lynn Cemetery, Glasgow. The funeral service can be viewed live on St. Margaret Mary's Church Facebook page. The death has taken place of George Doyle, 1 St. Oliver's Avenue, Buncrana, formerly of Carrick-on-Shannon, County Leitrim. Remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday at 10:15 a.m, going to St. Mary's Church, Cockhill, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The death has taken place of Catherine Graham, Ní Deasley, 66 Orchard Road, Strabann, and formerly of Archdraw. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow at 9:25 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills, at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family and close friends only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam.